Amen. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. That's right. Thank you, Peter. That is good. So, you know what? As you find your place there, let me just tell you, oh my goodness, they are going to town across the street, and they have already demolished the, remember the garden area? No more, amen, because Burlington Coat Factory doesn't have a garden area, so it's gone. So, and I am pleased to say, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I think it's going to look great, amen. And what my wife said, I thank God because there's all kinds of ladies that is going to get some clothes for their kids. And when they get clothes for their kids, they're going to see and hope that we love these kids and they are welcome here. Amen. And they're going to see it and they're going to feel it. And the church is going to grow. And I thank God for it. Amen. Amen. And very quickly, they're going to finish on Durfee, that underpass. I think they are ahead of schedule. I don't know that for a fact, but my friend said they're going to be done by next year sometime. So I'm really excited. When by our house on Valley Boulevard, they did an underpass. Oh my goodness. I almost forgot how to go that way. It took so long. So they worked on it for over 5 years and it just took forever. So I thank God that they're doing so well. And that's, you know what, God has set us up, all those people. They just come by this way. They come down Jackson to get to Passons. They don't turn left on Whittier. They just come straight through Durfee. I don't know who designed it that way. I think ultimately God helped design it that way. Amen. So everybody has to come by our church. And I thank God for that. All right. Yeah, that's right. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And let's get a running start on this. Let's start on chapter 5, on verse 5, chapter 3, verse 5. We'll just get a running start. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And he says, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. He's just using an example of people say, well, I don't understand. How in the world can I ask Jesus in my heart, and he come in my heart, and he start changing you from inside out? Pastor, explain it to me. I can't explain it. But I can tell you it happens. It happens all the time. All the time. So he's wondering why this one who is a teacher doesn't understand spiritual things, but cannot tell where it comes from. He's talking about the wind, where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said, look what he says. "You are a teacher of Israel and you do not understand these things." Remember last week I said that all these passages, the understanding that Jesus Christ was going to be the Messiah was all in the Old Testament. So he is calling Nicodemus out because he knows he should understand these things. It doesn't make any sense that he's a teacher of Israel, doesn't understand these things. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and you do not know these things?" Verse 11, "Most assuredly I say to you, most assuredly I say to you." So this is for sure. Remember we read today, it's impossible for God to lie. Amen. Impossible. Somebody says it's impossible for God to lie. Did not lie to you. He's telling you to do it. "Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness." Now he's kind of getting in his face. He's kind of getting in his face. Hey, let me tell you what. "Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness." Remember Nicodemus came at night. came at night. Why are you coming at night? It was my sermon Sunday. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Listen, I'm warning you Christians. How many Christians? Raise your hand if you're Christians. Okay, listen to the warning of God. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, you know what? On this earth, I'm going to be ashamed of you. If you don't stick up for me, I'm not going to stick up for you. Yeah, that's the word of God. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. That's what Jesus said. This is what I preach Sunday. We're living in a cancel culture society, and we don't want to be canceled because what we're believing is non-popular. Remember, the Bible says God, Jesus, had no reputation. He didn't care what you thought about him. He loved people enough to tell them the truth. And he's loving Nicodemus enough to be straight up with Nicodemus and tell him, hey, Nicodemus, you know what? What's going on here with you? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Nicodemus. You see what he's doing? He's calling him out. How many have ever been called out by the Holy Spirit? It's not a bad thing when you're called out. Amen? Most assuredly. And listen, if God would rather call you out personally. What does that mean? It means, man, when I'm talking in the congregation and I say, hey, if you are dealing with pornography, listen, I've told you this. I have no idea who I'm talking to. But here's what I know. I'm talking to somebody because the Holy Spirit is leading me to say that. I don't do it all perfectly, but I know where he's leading me. And don't get upset. Don't get afraid. Don't get spooked out. You know, like I did when I was at my Foursquare church. I was 20-something years old. Had a lot of stuff that I was happy the pastor didn't know about going on in my life. And hey, can you get me something that can hold my place on my Bible? So just a book or something. That's good. Thank you. I'm just constantly turning to John 3. Okay. And it was a New Year's service, New Year's Eve, right? And December 31st, and pastor said, we're going to have a special service, and I'm going to pray for everyone who wants prayer for that service. It's going to be a special, I'm going to prophesy over anybody who wants to prophesy. And I showed up all excited, and then at the end of the service, he preached an awesome sermon. At the end of the service, we got awesome worship. At the end of the service, he said, now if you want me to prophesy over you, I'm going to prophesy over anybody who gets in this line. And I got up and I got in the line. And then the line was a long line, so I was kind of in the back of the line. And then the line got shorter. And then the line got shorter. And then the line got shorter. And as I started getting closer to the pastor, I started recognizing, man, I need to get out of this line. Because I started thinking, I'm going to get up there and he's going to see some stuff I don't want him to see. Hello, somebody. And he was gracious, and he had an encouraging word for me, and he didn't. It was just awesome. But how many knew? God was calling me out as I was in that line. And let me teach you something. God. So when I say that, when I say, if you're having issues with pornography, if you're watching pornography, you know what, and you're sneaking around it. And nobody knows it, but you know it. You know, if that's you, that's God calling you out. And I have never, not once since I've been in the church, as he's saying stuff like that, I've never known who those people are. The closest I ever have gotten is when sometimes I'll say, I don't know who this is, but this is more than one person. And I'll understand that it's not one person. But never knew. And in my mind, how many know, somebody tell your neighbor, Pastor believes in us. Tell your neighbor, Pastor believes the best in people. I believe, when I do it, you know what I think? I think, who in the world? I don't think this is, you know, I don't think anybody, but I know enough to know that if the Holy Spirit is quickening me to do it, that it is somebody. Or some eight people. I don't know who. Or whatever the word is. Whatever the so God knows what's going on. Jesus knows prophetically. Well, he knew prophetically. Don't say amen to this. I'm setting you up. He knew prophetically because he was the Son of God. No, not right. Wrong. Remember, I just told you, I'm setting you up. No, he didn't know it because he was the Son of God. He knew it because he was baptized in the Holy Spirit before he ministered. Remember who led him? He told John the Baptist. Remember, you read, the Holy Spirit was on him. He emptied himself. Philippians chapter 2, he emptied himself of all heavenly privileges. He wasn't doing that because he was the Son of God. He was doing that because he was a son of man. He's called the Son of Man. Read your Bible all the time. Why? Because Philippians says he emptied himself of all heavenly privileges. That's why he told John the Baptist, no, you got to do this. The Holy Spirit came as a dove on him, rested on him, one version says. And then the Holy Spirit led him. He was led in the wilderness by the Spirit. Well, then later on he says that he does nothing but that he sees it done by his Father in heaven. What's he doing? He's tapping into that frequency, that same frequency that we can tap into. Amen. He never says anything, but first he says it. See, he never said, I do this because I'm the Son of God. He has to be led by the Spirit, and he's led by the Spirit. And so he's led by the Spirit. He knows prophetically, with I could say it like this. He knows pathetically that Nicodemus has some issues. But he is tapping into the prophetic. He's tapping into knowing. Remember the Bible says. How many here tonight? Remember the Bible says. Remember Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will tell you of things to come. What's that? That's you tapping into something that you don't know by yourself. And Jesus did it all the time. Jesus did it all the time. But he didn't do it because he was Son of God. He did it because he was tapped into the Holy Spirit. Remember, he said, I must spend time with the Father. What's he doing? He knows he needs to tap into the spiritual realm. Remember? He said, I'm tempted in all ways. Tempted in all ways. Tempted to not do the work that I need to do. But I'm going to do the work. I'm going to section myself off. I'm going to get up early in the morning. You think it wasn't hard for Jesus to get up early in the morning? If you do, you don't know the Bible. Because the Bible says he was tempted in all ways. What does that mean? All ways. That means that one of the ways he was tempted was to sleep in. Right? You ever been tempted to sleep in? Okay. Right. Well, you're like Jesus. Amen. And you need to act like Jesus and get up anyway. Come on, don't shut me down. This is good preaching tonight. You need to get up. You know what? Oh, yeah, but it'll be okay. I won't go to hell for it. Yeah, who said you'd go to hell for it? But you might make a bunch of goofball decisions that you, listen, when God, his commandments aren't burdensome. He's trying to get you up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's not going to be bad for you. It's going to be good for you. It's going to be bad if you stay in bed when he's trying to get you up. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. It's going to be bad for you. Listen, you need to hear this. You need to get up. You need to not allow your body always to tell you what to do. Look at your neighbor, say your body's going to get you in a bunch of trouble. Paul says, I beat my body. What's he saying? He's saying, we ain't doing that. We ain't going there. We ain't saying that. Bunch of junk coming out of Christian people. Amen. You can say amen to this. Look at your neighbor, say, but not you. But not you. No, no, no. Why? Because out of your mouth doesn't come bunch of trash and not bunch of cursing and blessing. Amen. You can follow me around. You ain't going to find me, you know what, cursing John. Amen. You ain't going to find me. I'm not talking about curse words. I'm talking about, oh, well, you know, I don't know what. No, you ain't going to find me doing that about John. You ain't going to find me doing about that Peter. You ain't going to find me doing that about John. You ain't going to be find me doing that at James. Why? Because I can't afford to do that. Amen. I don't need to curse James. I need to bless James. Amen. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. I need to bless James. Amen. 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 I need to bless Peter. Amen. Amen. I need to bless you. Amen. I need to act the same way I act on Sunday as I do on Monday. Amen. 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 Bunch of goofball Christians shooting themselves. Remember Gomer Pyle? Amen. Remember Gomer Pyle? What a goofball he was. Amen. Remember, not Andy Griffith. Who was his buddy? Barney Fife. Remember Barney Fife? What a goofball. He'd get the bullet in the bullet bed, put it in his gun, and 30 seconds, yeah, he's shooting his foot. Bunch of crazy goofball Christians. You know what? Blessing God on Sunday and then shooting themselves on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Say, do not shoot your pastor. Come on, somebody say it. Do not shoot your pastor. Don't shoot anybody. Amen. What? That's your own body. I'm part of your body. Amen. No, you want to say something? Say something good. You know what? You know what? I'm going to sing that song. I'm going to sing that song. You know what? Tell me something good. Right? Tell me that you love me. Yeah. Man, tell me something good. Tell me something good. Out of our mouth shouldn't come blessing and cursing. From our mouth ought to come blessing. Amen. See, when I was a child, I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away this childishness. I ain't gonna be, you know, I was helping my father-in-law one time. We managed apartments, and these apartments were old apartments, and they had these air conditioning units, and the air conditioning units started to go old. Well, they bought them all at the same time. They started going all bad at the same time. So about every month we'd have at least one air conditioning we had to, and it was one of those wall unit kinds. You see them in windows, but in this they put a sleeve right in the living room, and we had to take them out of the sleeve. Well, they'd been there for like 30 years, so they didn't come out of the sleeve very, very easily. So we had to get this big mallet. It was big. And we had to hit it a little bit on this side, 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 little, and it would just start to come out. It was really hard at first, but then finally it would come out. Well, I'm hitting it on this side, hitting it on that side, hit, and this thing's getting heavier and heavier. And at one point I hit it on this side, and then I hit it on this side, and I missed. And guess what I hit? I hit my knee. I hit my knee. With that, and I was swinging hard, and I hit my knee, and I had a revelation. I had a revelation. What did you have a revelation? I had a revelation that I was a dodo bird. That's what I had. Okay, but this is really the revelation I had. This is the truth. I remember the Holy Spirit using that moment and saying, you know what? That's what you do when you speak bad about the body of Christ. And you're hitting yourself. Because that is part, James is part of my body. Do you understand? See, and we need to grow up in the things of God and make sure we're not doing that. Can you say amen to me? Okay. And Nicodemus is acting some way, but God is calling him out another way. And he's saying, Nicodemus, I don't understand. These are things that you should be, you should understand at this point. And the fact that you don't, well, why am I bringing this up? Because this gossip is something that for most of you, you've been saved for at least 6 months, and you ought to understand how critical it is that only out of your mouth come blessings. And the Holy Spirit, God will impress. Your pastor, who's that for? I don't know. But I guarantee you it's not for the church up the street tonight. Can you say amen? Oh, pastor, are you saying that's for me? I don't know. I don't know your life. Here's what I'll say. If the shoe fits, wear it. Amen? Put it on. Why? Because just like God is loving Nicodemus, God is loving us tonight. Amen? Amen? And maybe you say, Pastor, that is not me. Well, you might have an opportunity in 3 weeks to say something. And you know what you need to be? Slow to speak. And you'll hear the Holy Spirit say, shut up. That's part of your body. How many receive that? How many receive that? Moses, verse 11. Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. All right up front. You don't receive our witness. Verse 12. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? How are you going to believe it? If I tell you something simple. Amen? Understand this. There is levels that God is asking you to walk in. And if you can't walk in this level, you're not going to walk in this level. Amen? I told you when my dad, he back in the day, how many old enough to remember Chariots of Fire, the movie Chariots of Fire? If you haven't watched that movie, rent it. You'll like it. It's good. It's a good movie. Really, really good movie. And it's about this runner, and this guy's a Christian man, and he went to the Olympics. He was a runner in England, and was running for England. And he went to the Olympics, and he wouldn't run because it was that his trial, his one of his qualifying heats or something, I forget what it was on a Sunday, and he was like, oh, "Sorry, ain't gonna happen." And it was a really cool movie. Well, it inspired a lot of people, including my dad. And, you know, at 45 years old, he decides, you know, how many know where Tamara and I live? The college, Rio Hondo College, kind of in that area. Well, he lived by Rio Hondo College, kind of in that area. He ran the next day, got inspired, ran all the way to Pico, to this church. Here's the problem. He hadn't done any exercise for 40 years before that. Okay. Somebody say there's levels. Somebody say there's levels. Somebody say there's levels. Okay. And then, it, you know, 2 weeks, took him 2 weeks to recover. I mean, it wasn't good in the Cohen household for 2 weeks. Okay. But here's what I'm saying. That there's these levels. Look what it says. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? See? A lot of people, they want to be used by God. And they're asked to be used by God. Can you come down here? Can you empty a trash? Can you help teach a class? Can you do, oh, no, I don't want to do that. Oh, give me the mic. I want to prophesy. I like what my friend said. He said, if you come here and if you're given the responsibility to empty the trash and you do that faithfully, guess what? We'll promote you. And next week, we'll give you two trashes to empty. See? And we laugh because that's kind of funny. But you know what? That's kind of smart of that pastor, too. Because if we can't trust you in these earthly things, how in the world are we going to expect you to do, you know what, these other things? No, everybody say there's levels. Okay. If I told you earthly things and you did not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Verse 13. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from earth, that is the Son of Man, who is in heaven. Verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man. Oh, there it is. The Son of who? You'll see it all throughout the scriptures. What is one of the things he's communicating when he's defining himself as the Son of Man? I have to be led by the Spirit. Okay. The Son of Man be lifted up. What's he talking about? Do you know what he's talking about? Yeah, he's talking about lifted up. He was lifted up on a cross. That's what he's talking about. Verse 15, that whoever believes in him, now watch this. Why is Jesus lifted up? Well, he's going to tell you right here. Verse 15, that whoever believes in him should not perish and have eternal life. See, he's lifted up because he loves people, because people need a Savior. I taught this recently when I taught on you need a Savior. Big problem in the world. They don't think they need a Savior. They don't think Jesus exists. And if they believe Jesus exists, they think that they're not too bad. How many know they're wrong when they think they're not too bad? No. They might be able to find somebody worse than them. How many know you can find somebody that is worse? How many raise your hand if you can find somebody worse than you? Okay. How many know you might be sitting next to them right now? Okay. Hey. It might be easier than you think. Hallelujah. Yeah, you didn't know I was going to say that one, did you? But that's what we do. We justify our junk by looking at somebody who is more junkety than we are. Right? And we think, oh, we're not that bad. No. The reason why the Son of Man, the reason why Jesus was lifted up, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Verse 15, and whoever believes in him should not perish. Why is he lifted up? Because that. Why? That. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 16. You know this verse. For God. Now why did that happen? Here's why. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Listen, he knows. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows his Son is going to be at the Garden of Gethsemane asking him, Dad, is there any way, if there's any way this cup can pass from me, let it pass from me. And what does God do? He says, Son, there is no other way. For God, why? Why did he do that? Here's why. Because he could have rescued his Son. He could have said, Son, I just can't take it. I can't take it. that people would rip out your beard. Son, I can't take it that people would mock you and say, prophesy, and blindfold him, then hit him and say, you know what, prophesy, who's going to hit you where? And that hit him, that they would beat him so bad that nobody could even recognize him, that he would hang on the cross naked. That worse, more than any of those other physical things, that he would have the shame of your and my sin on him. And God loved us so much that he gave. Listen, that was real. All that was real. And you and I can say, I don't care. God knew that he would be raised from the dead. Yeah, God knew he would be raised from the dead, but it didn't change any of the trash that he had to see and go through. Listen, we think that God doesn't have feelings. He has feelings. Are you kidding me? He is a loving heavenly Father, and his love for his son is no less valuable than your love for your kids. Why did he do that? Oh yeah, he knew he was going to raise from the... Yeah, he did. He had all the power in the world to rescue his son. And he didn't. Why? Here's why. For God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten son. And he had to see his son. You know, you ever... You know, sometimes when, you know, I've been here before, you've been here before. I think it happened a couple Sundays ago, or it happened in Lydia's service. You know what? We're sitting here and we're waiting for a video. Watch this. You know what I mean? And then we go here and we're not, and it's like, ah. And really, it's 8 seconds. But 8 seconds over here, it's feeling like, you know what, an hour and a half. You know, I'm thinking, what is going on? You know, come on, guys. You know, that's, you know, excellence is our spirit, so that's what I feel. Does that make sense? You tell me, how long? How long? How long was those moments of all that happening? You know what Mel Gibson said? Mel Gibson said this. He did a lot of research on the Passion of the Christ. I know so many people who said, you know what, we took a whole group to go, but we had a big group that went with us way back in the day, and it was awesome. But there were so many people who didn't go. And I would just ask, hey, are you going? No, I'm not going to go. Why? I can't stand to watch it. I can't stand to watch that. Listen to me. Mel Gibson said this. He was in an interview, and remember he said this. He said, you know, we just showed a portion of what really happened. And time-wise, it was a very small, not only did we ease back on what really happened, but the time. He said, if we would have showed what really happened, and if we would have showed the duration, how long it happened, he said, he said, by the end of the movie, nobody would have been in the movie theater. That's how brutal it was. Back to my illustration of waiting. How long do you think that was to a loving Heavenly Father who had to see that all? And you say, Pastor, why are you spending that much time on it? Because this scripture sometimes is said, you know what? Oh, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, I get it. But I want to put it in context. Why was the son, in context, with what, do you see this in verse 14? See, in context, verse 14. So Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why? 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 So that whoever would believe in him should be perished. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Oh my goodness. You want to spend some time giving thanks tonight before you go to bed? You thank God that he gave his only begotten son. that you and I can live with Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit and others that went before us forever and ever and ever and ever and ever again. Verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. And that we need to get out. Hey guys, see, let me tell you about Satan. Satan will not testify of God's goodness. What was Satan trying to do? You know, talk about apologetics. You know what? You need to figure this out. You need to learn this. This needs to be in your bag of tricks. Because you need to understand. Remember, Paul writes and he says, we're not ignorant to Satan's devices. We need to be understanding of how Satan works with people and how he deceives them. Well, one of his biggest tools that he uses is to, one of his biggest tools is he has got so many people convinced that God doesn't exist. But for those of many people who believe that God exists, and there's still many people who believe God exists, here's what he comes up with. Here's his tool. God is sending people to hell. God has never sent anybody to hell. Never has, never will. Well, what happens? You choose where you live. You choose where you're going to live. And if you don't want to live with God, he won't make you live with him. So I don't want to live with God. He says, okay, well, you do have to live with somebody, you know, like I forget his name now, Dylan. What's Dylan? Bob Dylan. Like Bob Dylan said, you have to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. So you have to serve somebody. There's no neutral in the kingdom of God. There's no neutral in there. Either you're for me or you're against me. Either you're gathering or you're scattering. But if you want to live without God in eternity, first of all, look at your neighbor and say, you are going to live forever. You're going to live forever. Now, I didn't say your body is going to live forever, but you are not your body. Say, I'm not my body. Your body is just your man suit. It's just your earth suit. That's what it is. That's all it is. You are a spirit. That's who you are. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. And when your body is done, you're going to keep on living. But when your body is done, then you're going to live somewhere else. That's the choice. Where are you going to live when your body's done? You're either going to live with God, which is a heaven, or you can live without God, which is hell. I got news for you. Hell is real. I heard a pastor say this the other day. And when he said this, I was listening to preaching and he said this. And I thought, that is good preaching. And let me tell you why I thought this. Because I reckon, here's what he said. Don't get mad at me, okay? I'm just telling you what he said. He said, hell is real, and it is continual torment. You will burn, but you will never be burnt up. Pastor, where do you get that? The Bible says that. Unquenchable fire. Well, I don't think you should say that. Okay, then just tell me this. Then why is that in the Bible? I'm just asking, why is it in the Bible? And when he preached that, I thought, oh my goodness, people need to be reminded that they're going to live forever. And if you're not, see, it's like, oh, I'm not going to be in, you know, it's like AC/DC, you know what I mean? You know, they sing about the highway to hell and they're like, oh, dude, you know what? No stop signs, no limits, nobody's going to slow me down. Do you know that person who wrote that died not many years later? you know what, of alcoholism. Wow. Let me tell you what. I guarantee you, you know what, at that point, he's going to know hell is not a party. Amen? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. I believe that there will be a constant reminder of all the times that you had an opportunity to accept Jesus, but didn't accept Jesus. And there's going to be a weeping, a constant. You know what? Listen, see, we don't understand this because many times, and I'm talking about sometimes church people, don't understand the grace that they've been given. You don't understand. I heard somebody, we were at a funeral the other day, it was open mic. This guy gets up here and says, you know what? I'm not sure. I think hell is real. I appreciated what he said. I didn't appreciate everything he said, but he don't know, you know what I mean? Unchurched, probably, predominantly. And he stands up here and appreciated what he was just talking. You know what? Just kind of reasoning what's going on. I don't understand everything. I don't mind him saying this. He said, you know what? I believe hell's real. I believe heaven's real. And I believe my friend is in heaven right now. But he said this, as he's kind of reasoning, he says, you know what? And I also believe that this is hell. This earth, this is hell. Pastor, what did you do? I sat there and I shut up. But at the appropriate time, I got up here. And I'm not like in his face. I'm not like, dude, you don't even know theology. I'm a senior pastor. I'm going to teach you some good theology. Can we be gracious to people? You know what I mean? Right? I didn't say that. I said, I appreciated, you know what? The brother said some things, and I appreciated what he said. I said, but let me just tell you. Why? Because I need to lead. I need to bring some direction. I need to bring some clarity. They don't know. Many of these people were unsure. They don't know. This is our house, right? Okay, and I need to stand up and be a proclaimer of the truth. I said, I appreciated what you said and what you said about heaven and hell. That's absolutely true. Heaven is real and hell is real. But I got to tell you, and I want everybody else to understand this. This is in a service that I was asked to do. I said, but you need to understand that this is not hell. Hell is where you will be completely separated from God. I said, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says it rains on the righteous and the wicked. Rain to farmers was a total blessing. Sun, the Bible says the sun comes on the righteous and the wicked. Sun, to an agricultural understanding, is a total blessing, right? Well, God blesses. And I said, look at this beautiful day. I said, how many enjoyed this day? How many beautiful day? And all these hands went up. Oh, what a beautiful, it was beautiful. Beautiful, we were here. Yeah, look at this. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful setting. Man, what a great direction we pointed the outdoor project in. Amen. Hallelujah. Tamara and I thank you for your willingness to not just talk about how much you love God, not just talk about how much you love others, but you show God and show others how much you love them by bringing tithes and offerings into the storehouse, that there would be meat in this house. And I don't take that lightly. For those of you who do it, I don't take it lightly. I salute you and I applaud you. You know what? And Tamara and I join you. We don't ask you to do something we're not doing. Amen. But I said, let me tell you what, this is not hell. Hell will be all good gifts come down from the Father of lights. And you got all this good stuff that when you reject Christ, not now, because now, you're part of God's grace, God's grace, God's grace, God's grace. But when you die, look up on the scoreboard. And whatever the scoreboard says, if the Clippers are up, they won. If the Clippers are down, they lose. If the Lakers are up, they won. If the Lakers are down, they lose. If the Dodgers can't go out and say, no, let's do another inning. They can't. And God's not going to give you another inning. He's given you enough innings. And your constant rejection and rejection and rejection. And the world needs to understand hell is real. And that unquenchable fire is real. That's what the Bible says. And nobody, say nobody. Nobody has to experience that. Why? Because, verse 17, are you with me? Because Jesus wasn't sent to condemn the world, but to save the world. Jesus wasn't here to condemn us. He's here to save us. Amen. Amen. Are you learning something? For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, look at verse 18, because this needs to be understood. For he who believes in him is not condemned. Oh, can we shout amen, somebody? Let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus is going to speak the truth because he loves people. Oh, no, just tell me, just only say things that'll make me happy. You know, don't tell me my tire is flat, because that'll make me sad. Don't tell me that. Your tire is flat. I'm not trying to make you not happy. I'm trying to tell you the truth. God says, verse 18, look at it. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Guy goes to Jesus. Good teacher. Jesus looks at him and says, what you talking about? No one is good but the Father. Why? Because everyone that was born has been born by a father. Who you were born of corruptible seed. That's why Jesus, Joseph wasn't Jesus' dad. Not biologically he wasn't. That's why Mary, you know what, was a virgin. Because the bloodline had to be perfect. But these people who don't believe in Jesus, they're already condemned. They're already condemned. They're already condemned. One time I went to Chicago. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, in the winter, Chicago is really cold and really windy. And I am from Southern California, and I got Southern California clothes, and I got Southern California sandals, and at that point in time, I had Southern California shorts, and I had a Southern California t-shirt. That's right, and I'm sure I had a Southern California tan. But a tan don't make you warm, amen? Tan, you can look good in a tan, but it don't make you warm, amen? So I was on a plane. Look at your neighbor, say, you are already condemned. I just didn't know it. I was already condemned. And I had my shorts on, I had my t-shirt on, I had my flip-flops on, I had my California tan, I'm ready. No, you're already condemned. And I get out, O'Hare Airport, I get out of the airport, and it's fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. My brother-in-law was going to pick me up. Most of Tamara's family lives out in Chicago. And my brother-in-law was picking me up in the airport. And all I had to do, he knew what flight I was on. He knew what time. And all I was going to do is walk out. And he was going to pick me up in his pickup truck. And I walk out there. And in Chicago, they have foyers. Everybody say foyer. What's a foyer? A foyer is a place to warn you. Yeah, it's a warning zone, okay? And so you're on this side of the glass, and there's these windows, and then you're not outside. You go into a foyer. And it's maybe different sizes, but maybe this big. And then you are in this foyer, and then there's other windows. Are you catching me? I'm inside the airport. Now the windows open up. I'm in the foyer, right? But I'm still inside. Now I'm outside. Well, when I got into the foyer, I thought, man, maybe I'm wearing the wrong clothes right now. And then the windows open up, and I took two steps outside, and I thought, why would anybody live in this place? This is a crazy place that anybody would live. But how many know, I got a point for this story. How many know when I was on the plane, I was condemned already? Come on, how many know I was condemned already? I'm sitting there, and back in the day, they used to give you a free Coke and free peanuts. I'm sitting there eating my free Coke, eating my free peanuts, enjoying the ride, thinking it's going to be a great time in Chicago, and I'm condemned already. See, the problem is, I didn't know that I needed help. I wasn't aware of it. Here's what I want to say. Here's the problem. The problem is, in life, there really is no foyer. You're alive, and now you're dead. Come on, somebody. Pastor, you like funerals? No, I don't like funerals. I love funerals. So why do you love funerals? Because I recognize, and this kind of sounds like, oh, your pastor's twisted. He likes funerals. No. I don't like funerals. I love funerals. And let me tell you why. Because funerals give all the people that are alive recognition that they're going to be in that place someday. And that's not a bad thing. That's a wonderful thing. Because there's no, what do the Catholics call that? There's no purgatory. Nobody's going to be able to pray you out of hell into heaven. No, that's a con. That's a ripoff. That's a manipulation of men who wanted money in the church, trying to rip people off and get from their relatives money. They used to say, hey, listen, you give me money. You know what this is about? You give me money and I'll pray to God because you can't pray to God, but I can. You give me money, I'll pray to God, and your brother, who was, oh my goodness, didn't care about God at all, I'll get him out of purgatory and we'll get him into heaven. That's a con. That's a spiritual con. That's a religious con. And so is the thought that you're going to be able to have some time in between, or you're going to be outside and be able to turn around and go back inside. Or that you're going to get a coat, because you ain't getting a coat. Amen? Oh, let me just go and get somebody else to come and just drop water on my tongue. And what does God say? No, that ain't happening. That ain't happening. When you were on the earth, before you went out of O'Hare, you had an opportunity. You could have gone and bought a coat at one of these places before you left, and you were inside. You could have made a choice to accept Jesus in your heart. You could have, and here's the thing. We are trying so carefully to say the right words and not offend. You know what the Bible says? The gospel offends people. It's going to be offensive to people. Stop thinking you're going to say something perfect. I'm not talking about not being led by the Spirit, because that's important that you be led by the Spirit. But God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of boldness. And sometimes you just got to be bold in your family members. You know, Pastor Vegas preached an awesome sermon, and she talked about loving her family and feeling intimidated because her family, so many of her family members are unsaved and they're unchurched, and they know she's saved, and they know she loves Jesus, and they know she's fully committed to Jesus Christ. And she gave a wonderful sermon. You know what, where she talked about her willingness to have to get uncomfortable and tell her mom and be a witness and say, this is the truth. Oh my goodness, we get so caught up in who we are and who, I don't want anybody to be offended. I don't want anybody not to love me. I don't want anybody not to like me. I don't want anybody, hey, listen to me. They are leaving the airport. Everybody's leaving the airport. Let me just ask you, do you know when you're going to die? You think somebody wakes up, for the most part, you think somebody wakes up in the morning and goes, I'll tell you what, today I'm going to go to 7-Eleven, I'm going to get one of those hot dogs. I like those hot dogs because at 7-Eleven, you could put as much cheese on them as you want. I like that nacho cheese. I'm going to go get some nacho cheese. And after that, I'm going to get in a car accident and I'm going to go to hell. Do you think anybody thinks that? Do you think anybody says that? No, they don't know they're going to get a car accident. They don't know at that point in time, just like I didn't know. I was condemned already because I didn't recognize. But God speaks this, and he's speaking, and Jesus is talking, and he's saying, let me tell you what, these people, they're already condemned. You need a Savior, and I need a Savior. And these people around us, they all need a Savior. I'll tell you one more story, and we'll dismiss. We had a guy, and how many know plumbers can be really, really expensive? They charge $158 just to drive their truck. $158. From day one, you're already $158. And then they charge more and more and more depending on what the job is. And sometimes the jobs take a long time to do. Okay. So I'm always looking for a good plumber for a great price. I find this plumber. And I like him because he's kind of old school, kind of older guy. So he has a lot of experience. And I thank God because he was willing to help the church out. So he'd come and he'd do this work and that work. I say, how much, Steve, how much we owe you? He'd say, oh, give me $150. Yeah, man, here's $150. He was such a blessing. Bless the church. You don't even know all the things he did. You don't know how much money. Oh, we save so much money. Hallelujah. Look at your pastor say, pastor's always trying to save us money. No, really, amen. I got some strengths, amen. And one of the strengths I have, I'll tell you what, I'll stretch that dollar. Okay. So I'm always looking, boom, 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 boom. And you know what? And my mind mentality isn't because I'm always believing for the favor of God. Amen. I'm always expecting just favor. And so anyway, this plumber, and he comes and he's blessing us over here, blessing us over there. So we had a situation and I called Steve. And when I call Steve, he doesn't answer his phone. And Steve smoked too. And he was like maybe, I don't know, 60, maybe 70 years old. And so in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, oh, I hope we didn't lose Steve, but I recognize that's a possibility. My wife says, you know what? Can you call anybody else? I said, I don't know anybody else. I don't know his daughter. I know. She said, I had got his son-in-law's number. Okay. His son-in-law. I asked Steve when he was there. I said, hey, do you know anybody who does concrete? I need a good concrete guy. He said, my son-in-law does. Look at your neighbor and say, pastor's always trying to save us money. So anyway, I have the son-in-law's number. I called the son-in-law's number. He says, pastor, didn't you hear? He said, Steve was coming home about a month ago. He says, I thought my wife called you. Steve was coming home about a month ago from Hesperia. And big rig veered off the road and hit him head on, killed him instantly. Now, here's what I want to say. That was freaky to me. And it wasn't freaky to me because, I mean, I was bummed a little bit because we lost our good plumber. But how many know the really reason it was freaky to me is because I couldn't remember ever talking to Steve about Jesus Christ. It's just for 3 days. If you would have talked to me in those 3 days, you would have said, Pastor, what's wrong? I probably wouldn't even shared with you what's wrong. I was so irritated with myself. Yeah, but I wouldn't want to offend him. You know what? I don't want to offend him. You know what that's, can I tell you probably what's that about? It's about you. About fear. Jesus said, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Who cares? Who cares? We need to understand, and I need to wrap it up. We need to understand that these people are condemned already. Somebody say, we're in the airport.
We're in the airport.
Somebody's got to tell them they're leaving the airport soon. Was somebody encouraged today?
Yes.
Somebody challenged today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Jesus' willingness to speak to Nicodemus. And I thank you for your willingness to speak to us tonight. Help us, God, to not be ashamed of the gospel. May we recognize there's everyone is leaving the airport. And may we be part of them accepting Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.